Time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and if you have your Bible, you'll want to turn to the book of John, chapter 15. We're looking at the story Jesus told about the vine and the branches. Now, John 15, verses 1 and 2, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit." Well, we'll return to that in just a moment. I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we are looking at an old Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sundays of February the 1st, 1925. We read in our text, "Every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. As all useless shoots and exsequences drain, the branches are cut off, that is, the whole strength may go to the production of fruit. So by loving chastisement, correction, discipline, and training through his word, God cleanses all Christians of the love of the world and of sin." We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, "All chastening seemeth for the present to be not joyous, but grievous. Yet afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby, even the fruit of righteousness." God cleanses every fruit-bearing branch, not only for its own sake, but also for the fruit it may bear, and for the good of others. This also is God's law, "Unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away." Matthew 25:29. Those who do not advance in the knowledge of truth, who do not serve God faithfully and regularly, who do not become constantly better, whether and die off and drop off the vine by their own dead weight, to those who improve their present opportunities, God furnishes larger opportunities for greater usefulness and good. Now, how to be cleansed? We read in verse 3, "Already ye are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you." The word which Jesus spoke was his whole teaching. The apostles had received this teaching, had been under the training of Jesus for more than 3 years, and were bearing fruit. They would be prepared by the trials and sufferings they were to undergo, and by clearer conception of the teachings of Jesus, to bear still more fruit in after years. The Word of God makes free from sin and purifies the heart when believed, received, obeyed, and retained in the heart. We read in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth." Jesus tells people what to do to be saved. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Mark 16:15-16. To those who already believe, he says, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2 and verse 38. Certainly people cannot be saved from sin and disobedience to Jesus. We read in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Who, in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the author unto all them that obey him, the author of eternal salvation. In his teaching, Jesus plainly tells Christians how to live in obedience to him so as to bear much fruit. Now, we have loving and abiding in Christ as the subheading here. Let me read to you the text. That is John chapter 15 and verses 4 through 10. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit, for apart from me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Did you hear it? He that abideth in me, and I in him. Jesus promises to abide with those who abide in him. As stated above, the condition necessary to bearing fruit is abiding in Christ. As the branches derive its life from the vine, so every Christian derives his life from Christ. We read in John 1 in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. To reject Jesus as the Messiah and the source of life is to grope in darkness and go down into eternal death. In verse 6 we read, if a man abide not in me. Abiding in Jesus as well as becoming a Christian depends on one's own choice and will. If one chooses not and wills not to continue in the service of Christ, he is cast forth as a branch by the Father and is withered and finally burned with fire unquenchable. Then a Christian may of his own choice and will leave to cease to love and to obey God, to fall away, and to be finally lost. In verse 7 we read, my words abide in you. In order to abide in Christ, it is necessary that his words abide in us. We read in 2 John in verse 9, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teachings of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. We should study the Bible now and love and cherish the Word of God. We read in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And 2 Peter 3 in verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, our Jesus said. Answer to prayer is not unconditional. Jesus promises that the apostles and others would be answered upon the condition that they abide in him and his words abide in them. Even then, like Jesus, all must say, not my will, but thine be done. God is glorified by bearing fruit, because fruit shows the goodness and love of God and what God is to the world. Christianity is known by its fruit. Jesus chose, appointed, and sent out his apostles that they should go forth and bear fruit. So all Christians glorify God in bearing much fruit. Even so, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5 and verse 16. And then Jesus said, and so shall ye be my disciples. Again, Jesus states that bearing fruit is a condition to remaining his disciple. If ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8, 31 and 32. And so, John 15, 9. Abide ye in my love. The apostles and all Christians through trials and difficulties should abide in Christ's love, because he loves them. His love for his disciples can be measured only by God's love for him. Greater love hath no man than this, we read in John 15, 13 and 14, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do the things which I command you. And then in Romans 5 and verse 8 we read, but God commendeth his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. To obey Christ is to love him, to keep his commandments, is to abide in his love. Christ could abide in God's love only by keeping God's commandments. To obey Christ is to do all he commands because he commands it, and not to do only what pleases one to do. Some set aside his command to be baptized. Others who have been baptized set aside other commandments. While many fail to love God with all their hearts and to love their neighbors as themselves. We read in verse 11, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be filled. What was Christ's joy? How in the shadow of the cross could he speak of his joy? He had the joy which comes through submission to his Father, the joy of his Father's presence, the joy of sacrifice and suffering for others, and the supreme joy of certain victory after the cross. This joy sustained him through all of his trials. This joy he wanted his disciples to have. He desired them to be faithful in all trials, and that their joy may be full in the end. He delivered the exhortations and encouragement above, that they might have this joy. Now that brings this Sunday school lesson to a close. And at the bottom of the page, E.A. Elam began another Sunday school lesson, this one for the Sunday schools of February the 8th, 1925, and it is Christ Intercessory Prayer. What I want to do now is to read that prayer, and we'll go as far as we can. We're going to begin reading in John 17 and verse 1. These things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou gavest him authority over all flesh, that all to whom thou hast given him, he should give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they should know the only true God in him whom thou didst send, even Jesus. I glorify thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. That's where we're going to end the class today. We'll pick up with that in our next study session.